All right, we're going to be in Colossians 1 tonight. Colossians 1. And I'm just going to bring this down here. Hey, thank you for all of your work, being ready for camp. And I'd especially thank you for all the work you've put into the music. I know we are asking a lot of you. Some of you are learning as many as 4 songs. And there's other things you've been working on memorizing for junior camp. And we appreciate that a whole lot. So thank you for your effort. I'm really enjoying the music that I'm hearing. And I hope you are enjoying singing it. These are great songs. I think I like these songs about as well as any set of songs we've had. And just really neat. So I appreciate that. Choir sounded good. And thanks so much. Somebody did ask me this morning, are you ready? And I said what I say, which is, it doesn't matter. They are coming tomorrow, whether we are ready or not. And so we'll just say that we are ready. But you know what? If we had everything absolutely perfectly planned and ready, and there were no other projects to complete, nothing else to clean up, I mean, it really wouldn't matter. That's not the key. It's good. It's great when we can have all these things ready, and we should do our best to be prepared. But that's not really the key to success for us. And it's going to be the Lord providing what we need moment by moment, day by day. And so even if we had everything ready, something will come along the way and interrupt that and disrupt that. And something that was ready will become unready. And so that's not really the key. So we'll make it either way, and it'll be great. Even today I was texted, I'm sorry, Brother Troy, I hate to ask this, but can you fit in one more? And I said, no. No, I didn't say that. I said, yes. And then this person said, well, is it causing you trouble? And I said, it's no trouble. So please send them. I mean, they're going to be sharing a bunk with you, so I hope you don't mind. No, not really, but it's going to be fine, and it's going to be good. And what if that's a kid that needs to be saved? And I want that kid to be here, and that'll be fantastic. All right. I feel like now I sound like Benson, so this is great. It's like the best junior church song-leading voice I have ever heard. I was just like wandering the halls today, and I'm like, man, whoo! Those kids, I have no idea. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar. All right. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, and let's look in at verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And Father, I pray now that you'll please allow me to speak your word in a way that honors you, that the Holy Spirit can use, and that it will touch our hearts and convince us of truth. And may we glean from this exactly what you would have for us tonight. And we are trusting you for that. And Lord, help us to be ready, not just about things about camp or program or schedules or facilities, but our hearts. If there's anything that is yet unconfessed or maybe has come up this week that needs to be taken care of, help us get that taken care of tonight so that we would not be that which holds back your blessing. And I pray as well that you just help us to be tender to you and to see what you have for us tonight. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can know God's will. You know, sometimes that seems elusive to us, but whenever you read about God's will, the Lord's will in the Bible, you find that it's something God is wanting us to know. God is wanting us to understand. Matthew Henry, a commentator, said about this passage of Scripture that God wants intelligent Christians. In Now, by that, he did not mean that God wants brilliant Christians. It means God wants Christians to know certain things. And if you look at the end of verse 9, it says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he says you ought to be filled. That's the idea of being just crammed packed to overflowing with the knowledge of his will, wisdom, understanding. That all sounds like God wants us to know stuff. But sometimes it seems elusive and we are wondering, what should I know? What do I need to know? What do I need to know next? I feel like I'm grasping for what God has for me. A few years ago, we had a guy on staff, and he was really battling what God wanted for him in his life. And he was majoring in a certain thing in college, and I'm sure he would have been very good at it, but quite honestly, when he just looked at this guy and what seemed to excite him and what seemed to really make him tick, it just really seemed like, surely if God wanted anybody to be in full-time ministry, it was this guy. And as he continued to go along, I would see him sometimes over by the guy's cabin, sitting on a porch, sitting on a rock, whatever, and I usually saw him like this. And it was just like he was in pain trying to get a hold of something he could not figure out. Until one time he finally came and he said, "Brother Troy, you know, I've been praying about this all summer and I really believe God wants me to be in full-time service." And I was like, "Hey, that's great." And I thought, about time you figured it out. I had that figured out, you know. No, not really, but I wondered. And I knew he was really grappling with something. He just was like, "Oh, what is God's will for my life?" And now, several years later, that's exactly what he's doing. He's in full-time work. Now, not God doesn't want everybody to be in full-time service. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sometimes we are just trying to get a hold of whether it's a complete direction for our life or the answer to one specific question in our life, and it just feels like we cannot quite get there. And have you ever just tried to make yourself understand something and you can't understand it? You know, like this whole last year of college, all those classes, everything, whatever, Greek, Hebrew, Egyptian, whatever you're studying, it just comes things that we're like, I just can't get a hold of it. You know what? Sometimes we can beat ourselves up because we can't get a hold of it, when really if we would refocus on another aspect of life, it would probably relax us to the place where then God could open our eyes and help us to see. And I'm here tonight to tell you what that aspect of life is. Not everything is about learning and knowing and just grasping the information. Your life is really as much about walking. Walking with the Lord. So in verse 9, when it says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, it goes right along to say that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. And while you may not feel like you know everything that you need to know, you can know that you are walking with God. You can know that you are walking in fellowship and in step with the Lord. Pleasing is what the Bible says here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, who are we pleasing? Well, ultimately, of course, we want to please ourselves. We want our lives to be pleasing. Romans 12 says that you might know is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word acceptable means pleasing. And God's will be pleasing to you. But even more than that, isn't the one that we want to please God himself? Now, if you think about it, can you think of any greater goal accomplished than knowing you pleased God? Pleasing the Lord comes by applying what God wants us to know to what God wants us to do. And I want to show you tonight that there are four characteristics of a pleasing walk with the Lord. Why am I sharing this tonight? Here's the reason. Because we don't really know what success looks like this summer by way of salvation decisions, revival, campers prayed with by a counselor. We don't know any of that. And some of those things might be exactly what we hope for, and some of those things might be greater than what we hope for, and some of those things might be not as good as what we hope for. But every one of us can walk out of this summer saying, I please the Lord. And if we can walk out of here saying, I please the Lord, then we will have accomplished something a lot, that's for sure. So let me show you from this passage four characteristics of a pleasing walk. Number one is this, being fruitful in every good work. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, fruit is something that actually is completely up to God. This reminds me of the parable of the sowers, the sower and the seed that we find in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And in those passages, the Bible compares us to a sower, a farmer who goes out and plants seed, and it lands on different types of ground. But the last ground, which is the good ground, when it lands in good dirt, if you will, spiritual hearts, the Bible says that it brings forth fruit, and it puts it in a different order depending on which passage, but it will say some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And the whole idea of that is the fruit is entirely up to God. By the way, that's true for a farmer, an actual farmer. Farmer goes out and he plants the seed. He cannot control the rain. He can try to control the weeds. He can't always do that. He can't control the sunshine, all the different aspects to make it grow. That is completely up to God. And that is as true in spiritual matters as it is in agricultural matters. I cannot decide what kind of fruit there will be from this summer or from my life or from my day. But I can ask God to be fruitful and put myself in a place where I can be fruitful. So the question is, if I'm supposed to be fruitful, how do I be fruitful when I'm not in charge of fruit? Can I swap out a different word that starts with F and ends with full? You know what it is? It's a matter of being faithful. If you will be faithful, then you will be fruitful. And by the way, here in this passage in chapter 1, verse 2, Paul's already called these people the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. He said, look, you guys have been faithful, and so I am praying that God will provide in your life fruit. And fruit is to be expected when we are faithful. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So the Bible says, if you will do what you're supposed to do, and you will do it with your heart, you will do it heartily, you will do it as to God, and not just so that people think you're not goofing off, not with eye service, but you're actually doing it for the Lord, you can know that it will produce something. You can know that it will be worthwhile. If I had to judge my entire life just based on what I could see, I would be discouraged, I would be depressed at times, I would be left hanging, but here's the deal. We can always know God is using what we're doing if we're being faithful to Him. So be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do. Know that you are being used by God. Number two characteristic, not only being fruitful in every good work, but notice in verse 10, it says increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, why would we need to increase in the knowledge of God? Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one is this, knowing God is what life is really all about anyway. God made us so that we could be fellowship with Him. And that fellowship was broken by sin. We can get that taken care of at salvation. We can keep that fellowship going by keeping our life clean with the Lord, but it's so that we can know God better. Can I say that if you will walk worthy of the Lord, if you will make that your goal this summer, to please God with your walk, that you will learn more about God this summer? Say, well, I don't know that I learned one new Bible verse. Maybe not, but you'll understand how it applies to you a little bit better. You'll say, you know what? I think I get that a little bit more. I think I understand that a little bit more. And I am telling you that as you progress through life, if you will just be faithful to the Lord and you'll make pleasing God your priority, you will get to know God better. So that's one aspect. But here's the other aspect. How do we know what pleasing the Lord is in the first place? How do you know how to please God? Well, it's got to be through His Word, doesn't it? So here's my thought. Now listen, if pleasing the Lord is our standard, and that's what I'm saying ought to be our standard, then pleasing the Lord as a standard needs a standard. Here's what I mean by that. Some people will say, well, I don't worry about all those things in God's Word. I just worry about my fellowship with God and just pleasing God. Okay, well, how do you know what that means? How do you know how to do that? How do you know you're accomplishing it? You've got to have a standard. You can't just make it up. We don't all get to decide what pleasing the Lord means. We've got to go to God's Word. And this summer, not only will you be surrounded by all sorts of campers who understand more about God, but you yourself, because you will be sitting in all of these services as well, can learn more about God also. And you get a better grasp on what it means to please the Lord. Hey, it's great if your desire is, I want to please God, but there's got to be something concrete to it. And that is a matter of understanding God's Word. So can I encourage you this summer, take every opportunity to understand God's Word more. Hey, I get it. We are tired. We get worn out. We are serving. I remember my first year as a counselor at the ranch in Tennessee. One of my jobs was to sit by one of the front doors in the auditorium and make sure that if anybody came late to the service, that they were shot down by a machine. No, I didn't really do that. That they did not interrupt the service by coming in that door. I would just look out the door and say like that, like, go to the back. And they usually get the idea and go to the back. That was my job. But hardly anybody all summer ever came to the door in the service. And so I'd be sitting there, and I'd be thinking, man, I am tired. Man, I would just like to spend a few moments in silent prayer. I knew I couldn't do that because I was on this spot where everybody in the auditorium would be able to see me and see if I was paying attention. And you know what? That actually helped me. I think I probably caught more out of the preaching that summer, even though I was tired, because I was forced to at least look alert. Well, the truth of the matter is that whether I had a post or not, there were so many messages where I was just like, this is fantastic. I can't tell you how many times my first summer I thought these exact things. I knew it had to be something like that. I've been wondering about that. I thought it had to be like that. That always bothered me. That troubled me. That passage, that truth. And man, I was just soaking it all in. And that is good. That is increasing in the knowledge of God. And by the end of the summer, I had a much better idea of what it meant to please the Lord, because I had been listening. If you ever go to Bible college and then go to chapel at Bible college, somewhere along the line, you will hear a preacher stand up and say, it's not enough for you to just come to chapel and listen to these services. You need to be in God's Word yourself. This, basically, the impression I was given was, this doesn't count. And I always thought, why not? I thought that's why I came to this college, was so I could hear the Bible every day. Now, I do think you ought to read God's Word for yourself, but my hunch is you're not going to have an hour a day to do it. Now, can I just say, don't beat yourself up over what you do not have. Thank God for what you do have, which is a consistent opportunity to hear God's Word and hear it explained, and take advantage of it and make it a goal this summer to learn practically who God is and what God wants of your life. So what does it mean to please God? How do we do that? How do we have a pleasing walk? Be fruitful in every good work. Increase in the knowledge of God. Look at verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now, that word strengthen, that's an interesting word. And let me put it to you this way. What if I said to you about somebody, boy, I sure hope he gets better soon. If I said that to you and I said, man, I sure hope Iden gets better soon, what would you assume about Iden? That he was sick. So if we are to be strengthened, what would you assume about us? That we are weak, that we are sick, that we do not have the spiritual ability that we should have. I've already forgotten which song it was tonight, but one of you had a line in the song that talked about being weak and then we are strong. We've heard that preached already during our staff training time. The fact of the matter is that we are always weak, and that puts us in a good position. We are always weak. That means we are always candidates to be made strong. Sometimes we forget that that's what we are. Sometimes we get a little over-impressed by our abilities. And we come to the place where we say, I got this. And here's my reply to you. No, you don't got this. And no, I don't got this. And this may be the, let me count here real quick, 32nd summer that I have served in Christian camping. But no, I don't got this. And this might be your first week coming up serving in Christian camping. And you don't have it either. None of us do. And that's okay. Because if we're going on our strength and our ability and our charisma and our personality, then we're going to fall short. But we can please God with our walk if we are going on his strength. By the way, I intentionally threw out a word to you in point one, with the plan of coming back to it here in point three. And here is my thought. You've heard this word. I said that in order to be fruitful, you have to be, what was the other word that starts with F? Faithful. Faithful. Okay. What does it mean to be faithful? All of my life, I thought of faithful as like, you know, you are consistent, trustworthy. Ready for this? God can count on you. Let me let you in on something. God's smarter than that. You say, well, isn't faithful about faith and being dependable? Yes, and I understand we would say it. I might consider you a faithful member of our summer staff. In other words, I can depend upon you, and I get that. But I am 100% convinced that the matter of being faithful, or even if you want to say God being able to depend upon us, only happens when faithful works the other direction. Where I am full of faith in God. I depend upon him. At every moment that I depend upon him, then maybe, yes, there's a sense in which God could depend upon me. But it's not because of anything I can do. It is completely because of what he can do. And so my being faithful is not about God can count on me. God can trust me. No, 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 no. I'm not saying this by overstatement. This is the 100% truth. You ready? I fail miserably. But you can trust God all the time. And so if you want to be strengthened with all might, let it be, as the verse continues to say, according to his glorious power. so that you are doing it with God's power. And in just the same way that you trusted God for salvation and likely expressed that by asking God for his salvation, ask God for his help every day and moment by moment through the day. Hoyt, when they bring you another load of pans and they set them here and say, God bless you, my brother, and walk out and slam the door behind because it's required by code for it to slam. And you're like, I don't know if I can handle this pile. So God, can you help me? And it doesn't matter if it's a pile of dishes or a pile of campers or a pile of things that need to be done in the next 10 minutes. Trust God with it and ask him for the help. Every one of us will be overwhelmed at some point this week. That's okay, because God is not overwhelmed, and he can do it. And he can provide this strength according to his glorious power unto all patience, which means you can endure, and long-suffering, which means you'll make it through, with joyfulness, which means you can be happy when it's going on. And so as we've already heard this week about the whole idea of suffering for Jesus, and that's not the right way to think about it, you know, that's absolutely true. I knew a guy one time, and every time he got down, he had what we called the plug in his name shuffle. I'm not going to plug in his name in case you know him. But he had this shuffle, and his feet wouldn't get off the ground when he was depressed, and he was discouraged, and literally, this is how you'd see him walk around. I get it. We all have days when our head is hanging a little bit because we're tired, because we've just been asked more than we feel like we can handle, and that all happens. But God help every one of us not to have a shuffle named after us. You know what I'm saying? So, and if somebody else is looking a little down, don't jump all over their case for it. Just put their arm around them, if that's allowed, and figuratively or spiritually, and say, you doing okay? You all right? Can I help you with anything? And to encourage one another. But the deal is, if we are encouraging one another, we're just going to be God's instrument to provide that strength. Strengthened with all might. So, how do you please the Lord? What's a pleasing walk? Be fruitful in every good work. How do you do that? Be faithful. What's that mean? Trust God all the time. Increase in the knowledge of God. Be strengthened with all might. And number four, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Would you turn over to chapter 4 for a second? I really didn't plan to say this, but these are two of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And they're just great. They help keep me in a thankful spirit often. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know what that means? You just keep praying. Just keep trusting. Look for God's answer. And even before you get it, thank God for it. Dear God, I know you're going to help me this week with my campers. Thank you so much for that. I am trusting you for it. Please help me today. Dear God, I have no idea how I am going to get that camper down out of that tree at 100 feet. But dear God, thank you for help. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. I've never had that problem. I'm just saying, whatever seems insurmountable to you, ask God for the help and look for God to answer it. And that keeps us in a spirit of thanksgiving. Whereas chapter 1 says, we can give thanks unto the Father for everything that we need. And by the way, can I give you a practical suggestion? One good way to get into the habit of thanking God is to get into the habit of thanking other people. So here's just an idea. Suppose you went up to the kitchen window for the next meal that comes out of the window, whatever that is. I don't know if that's tonight or tomorrow, probably tomorrow. and somebody hands you a plate of food and you said, "Thanks, guys." That'd be great. Today, we were already going there before Pastor Isaiah mentioned it, but we went to In-N-Out Burger. And the lady behind the counter said, "How's your day?" And I said, "It's going great. How's yours?" And she said, "It's going fine. Thank you for asking." Now, I have been given that response by many In-N-Out employees, so I'm pretty sure they're coached to say it. But I appreciate that. Somebody that just says, "Hey, thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you." And I will tell you, there will be people, there will be church counselors, there will be other staff, there will be campers that do things for you all summer long. And you will be a happier person if you notice it and thank them. The other day, I was having one of those moments where I just felt a little cranky. I was going through a great trial. I was awake. And so I realized, I don't want to be cranky. And so it just occurred to me, be thankful. And so I made a point that day to just say, "Hey, thanks for doing that. Hey, thanks for doing that. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you." And I found that I felt a lot better in about an hour. I was like, "Well, that's clever. God ought to put that in the Bible somewhere." Oh, wait, there it is. So I'm just suggesting that you and I will be more thankful to God if we are more thankful to each other. And by the way, I did start finding myself thanking God for what you were doing. Yeah. And so that's a good thing. It's a good reminder for us. I have no idea what the summer holds. I have no idea what God will provide. I have no idea what God will do. Some of you are looking at this as your first summer. Some of you, this may be your last summer to do this because of whatever settings. Maybe this will be your one and only. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I think it'll be a great memory to you. And you will know that you succeeded if you just know you had a walk that pleased God. Many times I just think, I just want to please the Lord. It's just what I want. And so I know from this passage that it can be done. If I am fruitful in every good work, just trust the Lord with that. Increase in the knowledge of God, be strengthened with all might, and give thanks. Be thankful. And God is going to do a lot of great things in and through us this summer, many of which we may never know about. Or we may not know until many, 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 many years later. Somebody might come back to you and say, "Man, I'll never forget at camp and this happened and I saw you go through that and that was really a blessing to me." And you're like, "What? Why didn't you tell me that?" You know. Well, here's the deal. People don't have to tell us. God has told us. And if we are faithful to Him, trusting in Him, then we can just be thankful that we're pleasing God. And it can be a great summer together. And God's going to give us a lot of other blessings along the way. So I'm not saying you're not going to see any of them. You'll see plenty of them if you want to. But if nothing else, you can know that you've pleased God. That's a good thing. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. Please give us all the help that we need this summer. I pray that you would please help us to keep our walk close to you. May we be pleasing. And I pray, Lord, that you will use it in ways that are things only you can do. That's what we're asking for. We're looking for miracles in people's lives. So please do that. And please help us in this very first week that we will see your very best. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.